Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Ken Page holds a special place among the pantheon of entertainers who have both hailed from St. Louis and who've chosen to call this city home. Page died on Monday at the age of 70, and for the rest of today's show, we're going to remember him. Born in 1954, Page attended Bishop DeBerg High School and then went on to Fontbonne University on a theater scholarship. In his teens, he made his debut on the storied Muni stage in St. Louis and would go on to perform in more than 45 Muni productions. Page debuted on Broadway in the 1970s as Nicely Nicely Johnson in the all-black revival of Guys and Dolls, and he was a replacement for the Cowardly Lion in The Wiz. Here's Page performing Mean Ol' Lion from The Wiz at a benefit show for Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS about a decade ago.
Do what you wanna, but I'm here to stay, cause I'm a mean old lion. Go where you wanna, but don't get in my way, cause I'm a mean old lion. Oh, you're strange, just better beware.
As iconic as The Cowardly Lion is, Ken Page was better known for his stage role as another feline, Old Deuteronomy, in the original 1982 Broadway production of Andrew Lloyd Webber's Cats.
My legs may be tottery, I must go slow and be careful.
Despite his immense success in musical theater, Ken Page became most widely known for his role in a modern film classic. He was the voice of Oogie Boogie in Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Well, 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 what have we here? Santa Claus, huh? Ooh, I'm really scared. So you're the one everybody's talking about. You're joking. You're joking. I can't believe my eyes. You're joking me. You gotta be. This can't be the right guy. He's ancient. He's ugly. I don't know which is worse. I might just split a seam now if I don't die laughing first. Mr. Oogie Boogie says there's trouble close at hand. You better pay attention now, cause I'm the boogeyman. And if you aren't shaking, there's something very wrong. Cause this may be the last time you hear the boogie song. Whoa, 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 I'm the boogie boogie man.
That St. Louis actor Ken Page as Oogie Boogie in The Nightmare Before Christmas. In a moment, we'll hear from someone who knew him well. But first, let's hear from Ken Page himself. We were lucky to have him as a guest on this show a number of times to talk about his acting, directing, cabaret, and more. He joined St. Louis on the Air in 2019 to reflect on his then-recent receipt of a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis. 5 years ago, we asked Page about his first acting memories.
Me at five, doing a voice in a puppet show. How I started. Because you think about the insignificant little moments that you don't really consider at the time. Obviously, at five, I wasn't thinking anything. But it set me on the path that I'm on. And then a few more road marks down the way that kind of kept me moving in the direction that I've been in for the last 50 years, yeah. I want to say. I was never afraid to be in front of people. Mm-hmm. And I was a very, very shy child. So it was definitely a heads up on where I was headed, because I would get in front of people and I wasn't shy, but off with just every day, I was very shy.
When Page was in middle school, he knew he wanted to be an actor.
My cousin participated in the Bellarmine Speech League, and I don't know if that's still around, but we did it. I did it as well later. And I would go to some of the tournaments with him. And then when I started doing it around seventh, eighth grade, I liked the process, mm-hmm. you know. And I think that's when I started to think about it seriously. Because you go to high school and then the decisions were made, well, what school do you go to? Because do they have a music and drama program? So that's your next step. And there was a lot of brouhaha at the time about myself and my best friend, Luther Clark, God rest him, where we would go because we had already shown an aptitude and singing, music, drama, whatever. And we did 2 summers of prep for St. Louis University High School, which was pretty much academic compared to having a school with music and theater. They did plays, but they only did plays at the time. Anyway, long story short, I ended up going to Bishop DeBerg, but at the time, the city was very divided as far as districts. And DeBerg, I lived in downtown St. Louis at the time, and DeBerg was all the way on the south side, so it was like, no. And my dear, dear friend, Lois Zitzman, who at the time was Sister Ruth Cecilia, fought for us to get into DeBerg. She says, how can you expect these young people who are outside of the districts, how can you expect them to do well or better if they don't even have the opportunity to begin with? And they let us in, and that broke the door open for everybody following us, which was great.
Page auditioned for the Muni when he was about 16 years old, a handful of years after his first time seeing a show there at age 11. And it was partly his enduring affection for the Muni, which he always called his home stage, that spurred his return to St. Louis after some 40 years away. There was family here, too.
When you're in the business as long as I've been, you miss a lot of births, you miss a lot of weddings. Sadly, you miss a lot of funerals. And for me, I was never disconnected from my family. A lot of people, when they go into the business, just by the turn of events, they get a little more distant from where they started. But I never was. I mean, I brought everybody to New York for shows and so on and so forth. So I began to really feel like I was missing the evolution of my own family. Mm-hmm. Babies were born whom I hadn't even seen yet and this sort of thing. Dear relatives passed away, and I couldn't go to the funerals because I was working. And I thought, okay, that's been how many years I've devoted to that as the first priority, which you sort of have to do, you know. People think it's selfish, but if you don't do that, you don't get ahead. And when I thought about moving back here, a number of things came into a confluence, and I thought, well, you know what, I think I'll try it. If it doesn't work, you know, I can always go back where I've come from, you know. But so far, it's been great, you know. I've been able to do a lot of things here, and I go in and out of here, and that was part of it for me as well. I think we reached a technological age where as long as you show up, they don't care where you came from, you know.
As we mentioned earlier, despite all of the success Ken Page achieved in the theater, he is most well known for portraying Oogie Boogie, the villain in The Nightmare Before Christmas. He explained how he got the role in that 1993 film.
You know, it's one of those things that, you know, you hear the story later and it becomes a showbiz tale. They were looking for someone who had a Cab Calloway-esque approach or could do it. And also somebody who had the humor of like Fats Waller, mm-hmm. you know. Long story short, I went to San Francisco and we recorded everything there. And it's one of those things where, you know, the movie was not a huge hit when it came out. It did well enough. But it's all, as people might know, it's in stop action, which people don't even really do anymore because now they can do so much of it digitally. But it's again, one of those art forms that is really specific in particular. And I think that's why the film stands up till today. For me, you know, I remember going and they asked me, they said, well, what would be your take on the voice? What do you think? I said, well, obviously the music is Cab Calloway-esque, and I know that's what you're looking for. So of course that's what I... And they said, well, the speaking voice. Because I think I was under the understanding that I was just going to sing at first. I said, well, look, Harry, to me, it's sort of a cross between Bert Lahr in The Wizard of Oz, you know. Oh, I do believe in ghosts. I do believe in ghosts. And the voice of the demon in The Exorcist, the amazing work of Mercedes McCambridge, actress. And they said, well, can you do it? I said, I've been waiting for you guys. What a lovely day for an exorcism. They said, oh, wow, okay, that'll do. I think I scared them, frankly. But I was as weird as Danny and Tim Burton. So that was kind of how we meshed him together and so on and so forth. But, you know, how often does something like that come along? And it's purely happenstance. You get the movie. That's great luck. But for it to continue and grow and become such a cult, I think it's beyond cult now. It's into classic.
In our 2019 conversation with Page, he reflected on the notion that he was better known for his movie role as Oogie Boogie than for his long theater career.
It's an interesting thing. You know, when I think about all the different things I've done in different areas, they've never come to a confluence. It's always sort of like people know me from this and they know me from that. And they go, oh, you mean you were on Broadway? I'm like, yeah. People in the theater didn't know I'd done the voice of Oogie Boogie, you know. But it's been proven to me that it is what I'm most well known for, which is, I mean, it's a little odd because as a performer, you want people to know your face and so on and so forth. But it also has a blessing in it because as long as I can get up and go out there, I mean, we've been doing concerts, live concerts to the film for the last 4 years now. We've done three at the Hollywood Bowl, sold out, and we did one at the Barclays Center a couple of years ago. And this coming winter, we're doing a little bit of a tour in Glasgow, Scotland, and London, Wembley, and in Dublin. So, I mean, it's getting bigger. That's the thing that's so bizarre about it. It doesn't get smaller because generation after generation is being introduced to the film. So it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
When we spoke with Ken Page about 5 years ago, we talked about the musical Hamilton. That 2015 work by Lin-Manuel Miranda broke barriers because it challenged the image of the Founding Fathers, included modern music, and had a multi-ethnic cast. The issue of race as it relates to casting was an issue for Page, too, but in a different way.
I pretty much crossed the color line in a lot of things I've done. And not that that was by aim, but that just seemed to be the way it worked out. I remember when I got cast in Cats, everyone expected, certainly, a Caucasian gentleman would be doing the role. Mm-hmm. The British have a different sensibility a bit at that time especially. And I think they just picked the person that they thought was best able to do the mm-hmm. part. It wasn't first you must be white and then we'll see. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of, I got a bit of pushback about it. It was sort of surprising from both sides because everything I'd done up to then were all black productions, Guys and Dolls, The Wiz, Ain't Misbehavin'. And then all of a sudden I was going into this sort of raceless kind of thing. And I thought, well, first of all, we're Cats, so there's that. Yeah. And then there was this feeling that I kind of left my own tribe, if you will, behind. And then on the other side, there were people saying, well, how can he and why should he and why didn't I? And you know, as Trevor Nunn said to me, he says, look, I'm aware, and he's very soft-spoken, he says, I'm aware of the ideas that are floating about your casting. And he explained to me why and what it was about. He says, we are not concerned about that. It's about your energy and your spirit. And Jillian, my late, dear, dear Jillian Lynn said to me, she says, darling, whoever had the heart and the spirit was the man who was going to get the part. And we simply were not interested in anything else. So it made me feel great. And when they recasted me again in the filmed video, I have to be careful now there's going to be a film, it proved to me again that whatever I had was what they wanted, you know. And I think that's the case in general. And with Hamilton, I do believe he broke a barrier down. It still comes up, you know, it's not going to go away overnight. But I think he's proved by having a mix, and it is a mixed company. It is not all black. Mm-hmm. A lot of the people are Latino, which is not really talked about a lot. Mm-hmm. And there are Caucasian white actors in the show as well in terms of the ensemble. But that's what it is. And I think it really paved a road for other things of that nature.
When the Arts and Education Council, in 2019, honored Page with its Lifetime Achievement Award, it was special. At the time, he said it was because it was a St. Louis honor. After all, he'd returned to live here in 2010. He was also proud of the younger generations of entertainers and had this wisdom to share.
Don't ever change who you are for anyone. If it got you this far, it'll keep you there and it'll take you the rest of the way. Because that's the first thing that happens a lot of times. People say, well, you got to be this, or you got to be that, or you got to do this way, you got to do that way. You can't sing this way, you got to sing that way. And all that I think that really matters is what you want to do, whether it's successful or not. If you say, look, I sing this way, this is the way I want to sing. If people accept me this way, great. If they don't, you know, there's you know, hamburgers and hot dogs, you know what I mean? So it's important. And I knew I felt that way even at my young age. And I, you know, I don't know why, but I just knew that I needed to be who I was and not try to be something else. And I certainly got a lot of people saying, you should lose 9,000 pounds. Mm-hmm. You should do this. You should do that. You're too light. You're too dark. You're too this. You're too that. You speak too well. You don't speak well enough. All those sort of things. And I remember thinking, with the help of mentors, this is what I'm offering you. And if you like it, buy it. If you don't like it, somebody else will like it.
Ken Page died at his home in St. Louis on Monday. He was 70 years old.
Memory, all alone in the moonlight, I can smile at the old days. Life was beautiful then. I remember the time I knew what happiness was. Let the memory live again.
We mentioned earlier that Ken Page always thought of the Muni in St. Louis as his artistic home. He made his debut there in 1972 in the ensemble of South Pacific. He performed in more than 45 Muni productions, most recently as the Bishop of Digne in Les Mis this past June. If you didn't catch him in those Muni performances, but you've been to the Muni since 2013, you certainly heard Ken Page. He was the voice of the Muni who greeted audience members before each show.
Good evening, and welcome to the Muni's production of Les Miserables, proudly playing on the James S. MacDonald stage.
Mike Isaacson is the Muni's artistic director and executive producer. St. Louis Public Radio reporter Chad Davis spoke with Isaacson yesterday about Page's passing.
There are people in your life, and then there are people. Then there's Ken Page. Personally, we were close and talked a lot, actually, both about our lives and the world of theater, our lives in theater. We shared this communal belief, this collective desire of what the theater could be and what it is and what the Muni means. And he was a huge support because there were times I would, you know, you can lose your way. And I could always count on Ken to get me back on track. And, you know, he was a singular talent and a singular human being. So the outpouring of grief that's happening is, you know, it's not manufactured, it's real. He touched everyone he came in contact with, and he deeply, deeply loved the Muni and the audience and everybody backstage in the audience in the offices.
Among the many Ken Page performances at the Muni, one from last July stands out to Mike Isaacson.
About 2 years ago, when he did West Side Story for the second time. He had come to me, first time we did West Side Story, and he said, it's always been a dream of mine to play Doc, which is, you know, the crusty guy running the thing, but he's sort of the moral voice of the tragedy and sees how this is out of everybody's control and has the immortal line. The immortal line, why do you kids always act like there's a war going on? And he wanted to say that line. And he wanted to say that line on the Muni stage. And that was in 2013. And then when we did it again last year or 2 years ago, which would have been 2023, so it was a decade later, and he came to me and said, I want to play Doc again. I said, okay, let me talk to the director. And the director is Rob Ruggiero, who's done amazing work on the Muni stage. And he loved the idea. So here he was a decade later, returning to the idea of watching the world fall apart in front of him. So Rob, understanding what this is, actually gave him the final moment in the production where after the Sharks and Jets carried out Tony's body, there was Ken Page standing alone on the stage, looking at his theater, his audience, his community, wiping tears. And asking why. Each night, that moment was absolutely genuine and devastating. I also have to say for the record, the guy was hysterically funny. And it is the laughter we'll remember. And oh God, did we laugh. Jeez, we laughed. Just the best. He had always had a twinkle in his eye and was so witty and all the things.
That's Mike Isaacson, artistic director and executive producer at the Muni, remembering his colleague and friend, Ken Page. Let's go out of today's show with the final song in Cats, as sung by Ken Page, portraying Old Deuteronomy.
With cats, some say one rule is true. Don't speak till you are spoken to. Myself, I do not hold with that. I say you should address a cat, but always keep in mind that he resents familiarity.
St. Louis native Ken Page died Monday. The theater and film star was known for his roles in the Broadway casts of The Wiz, Guys and Dolls, Ain't Misbehavin', and Cats. He was the voice of Oogie Boogie in The Nightmare Before Christmas, and he performed in several dozen shows at the Muni. He was also a mentor and friend. He was 70 years old. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Thanks for listening. I'm Elaine Cha.
Today's episode was produced by our executive producer, Alex Hoyer.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.